The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You could also text the show at 713-780-3776. And I can't keep up with all the stuff people are coming up with. Peter wants a Bernard Hopkins signed UFO. Cody Lance Armstrong signed syringe, and the pin he signed it with, you guessed it, it's a Uniball. And yeah, there's a bunch of, you know, Big Ben signed bathroom stuff and Bill Cosby signed wine glasses. You guys are just, you're sick individuals, and I love every one of you. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. So we shall move on to some other things, but, you know, that's a topic we may revisit at some point. Man, I was watching NFL Network today, this morning, while I was doing some internet stuff, and first off, the girl who hosts that morning show looks like she's 12 years old. I mean, they really are getting, I mean, I think they're just taking them straight out of junior high these days. But they had the story of Dante Foreman losing his kid, which I hadn't heard before. Have you seen that story? That was pretty good stuff. I'm not big on these, you know, in-depth stories about athletes and everything, but that was really well done. But they're all talking mock drafts, and one of the guys was saying they expect four quarterbacks to go in the first round and all to go pretty high. And I think a couple of them had Pat Mahomes as high as number 12.
I'm telling you. That's the thing about that position is people are going to overpay for it.
It's crazy. And, yeah, I think he's a third-round guy. He's a project kind of guy. But it makes me realize kind of what we've been throwing out yesterday a little bit was there's a good chance when you get to 25, the guys who are worth the Texans taking at quarterback and offensive tackle are gone. I think there's a chance that they're both gone simply because it's such a weak position, so everybody's going to grab the ones they can. And that being the case, it'll be real interesting to see what happens. I hope they don't reach for somebody. But USA Today's last one, I think, has Myles Garrett won. And I really don't know what the Browns are going to do because there's a lot of smoke screen going around there, too, that they might actually take Mitchell Trubisky number one. Now, this draft has him taking him 12th, which I think is too high for him. But whatever. I'm just going to have to accept the fact that these guys are going to go way too high. Although this draft has them taking has the Texans taking Mahomes at 25.
I'm getting the feeling that whatever the Texans do, because everything that I've seen that's a possibility, I'm going to shake my head at.
Yeah.
Maybe something works out and they end up with an offensive lineman, but I have a feeling that when we come to work on Friday, we're going to be saying,
what the bleep?
This isn't what they needed. This isn't what they should have done.
Yeah, I'm getting that sense, but you know, we said that last year when they took Will Fuller. And jury's still out on him. But the thing was, I wanted a defensive lineman, which wasn't sexy. It's not where they it's not where they went. So I think they kind of have, the last few years, have really identified needs and drafted for need. And we'll see if it works out. But Monica Lewinsky signed Cigar, really. Gary Gygax signed Dungeons & Dragons book. That I would pay for.
Yikes.
The late, great Dale Sr. signed seatbelt. Oh, man. All right. Enough of those. Manziel signed a money phone. Yeah, well, Manziel was signing stuff Super Bowl week, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Or did he cancel that?
I don't. I think he did that, right, at Katie Mills Mall.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do it. All right, I found a WSOP event to play while we're in Vegas. I'm stoked. Adrian Peterson to the Saints official.
Yeah. It just seems like if he was going for $3 million, there's a lot of teams that should have scooped him up.
Yeah, essentially it's a 2-year, $7 million deal, so three and a half, but four guaranteed, and it's all the first year.
Yeah.
So basically if they just want to keep him for a year, they can. It's a very team-friendly deal, and I just I'm a little surprised that that's where he wound up. And from what they were saying on what Ian Rappaport was saying this morning, there wasn't any offers from anybody else. They're the only team that offered him anything.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, I don't know many teams. Maybe Dallas is maybe an exception that couldn't use some running back depth.
Yeah.
And to have a guy like with that much upside for $3 million just seems like a no-brainer to me.
And a bunch of people have asked, is it possible for the Saints to move Ingram and move up and draft Fournette? No. Ingram's, when you think about the running backs in this draft to move up, he doesn't have any value to another team. Especially if a team could assign Adrian Peterson for 3.5, why are they going to trade you a draft pick for Mark Ingram?
No.
It's not going to happen. So,
but like, think about this. The Adrian Peterson thing became official yesterday. Mike Gillisley officially went to the Pats.
Right.
And he's going to have an average annual salary of $3.2 million. So Mike Gillisley is now worth more than Adrian Peterson.
Huh.
Listen, I'm sure Adrian Peterson is on the... I mean, there's no doubt he's a declining guy.
Right.
But if you gave Mike Gillisley and Adrian Peterson both 150 carries next year, my guess is Adrian Peterson would be the better guy.
Wouldn't argue with that.
I think it's very interesting.
So I'm going to miss the Seniors No Limit Championship by one day.
Because
it starts a Friday when we're out there, the 50-plus. Yeah, because people are asking because they're sending me what events they're going to play. It looks like event number 33 starts June 17th, 1500. No Limit Hold'em. That's what I'm targeting. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. And a lot of people texting that Raheel bragging about trolling all the shows. Good for him.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I mean, it's not like Raheel's some kind of great secret keeper.
No.
Raheel's not as great at that as he thinks he is.
No. It's pretty easy to tell when it's him. So... D says, I wish fellow Saints fans would quit with the trade Ingram and draft Fournette BS. Yeah, it's garbage. So stop it, Saints fans. Drug Bevo, is there any position where the number one prospect for that position fell to 25 you would advise the Texans not to draft them?
If there's any position where the best guy at that position fell?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think there's any one place where you can say, oh, they're so good.
I don't know if I would take a running back, and I don't think any of those running backs fall to 25, but I don't think I would take one of those guys at 25, as good as I think they might be. But that's just because that's my rule of thumb.
But I'd be hard-pressed not to take Leonard Fournette at 25.
Yeah.
Nestor, let's be honest. Texans could trade their pick for Aaron Rodgers, and you would still tell us how they blew it. No, Nestor.
No.
We've said when they've made good picks. We've said when they've made bad picks. And, you know, you're going to get honesty if you don't like it. Sorry. Pats don't run very much. They're looking for pass-catching backs from 8-3-0. Well, the Pats do whatever they feel like doing each game.
The Pats were also looking to replace LeGarrette Blount.
Right.
And if you're looking for that hammer-type back, I feel like Adrian Peterson would have been a nice fit.
Yeah, isn't he a better version of that?
And they still have Burkhead there. I mean, the Patriots, they always have a physical back and a pass-catching back. That's pretty much their MO.
Well, and I'm guessing they'll draft somebody physical because now they've got a lot of those kind of open field backs, the James Whites and Gillis Lee. And I was reading a piece the other day that both Gillis Lee and Burkhead were, from an efficiency standpoint, the analytics guys love those guys.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, makes sense.
I'm sure Gillis Lee is going to be great now that he's a Patriot.
Yeah. And, no, because I guarantee if Deshaun Watson's sitting there at 25 and the Texans take him, guess what?
You'll be happy.
I'm going to be praising him. I'm going to say, you know what? The guy might not work out, but I love this pick. But, yeah, that's honest, Nestor. 713 says Pat should take P. Ryan in the third or fourth round. I do think that guy is going to be a steal for somebody.
He would fit that power back mold.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think he has that after first contact burst like Blunt had.
I think he's I still think he's pretty good in short yardage and not a huge open field guy, but if you open up a hole for him, he's got a really quick burst. Let's try a call or two. Clint, you're on the HRNP listener line. Go.
Hey, what's going on? I was just calling to call back about the autograph sheet that you guys were having a conversation about. A cousin of mine went to the Astros game, I guess, last year. And I guess they were honoring, it was a game when they were honoring, like, all the old greats, you know, Biggio, Bagwell, Backy, the whole crew. And he was on the sweet level.
Biggio, Bagwell, and Backy,
He just added Backy to the greats?
I know. Just that era when, you know, Backy threw that great game and everything. Just that team and everything. Okay. Definitely not a great. But I guess as soon as you walk into that suite, they had the jerseys for all the former players to sign. Well, he walked into the suite, and he signed his name on the jersey and everything and walked out. Didn't walk out, tried to party with him for a little bit before he got kicked out. But it was pretty funny.
All right.
All right.
I always feel weird, like, getting autographs in places where it's like you're not supposed to get autographs.
Yeah. Well, and we see it a lot of times where, especially at the Super Bowl, where they let the fans in and they tell them you can't get autographs and they all still just try to get them. The worst was the fight you didn't go to that Pearson and I went to in Dallas. They accidentally, for the weigh-in, the security people totally screwed up. And all the people were coming in for the weigh-in going through the suite area where we were set up for Radio Row. So there's like Bernard Hopkins and Kovalev and Andre Ward and all these guys in here sitting here doing interviews. And these people just, I mean, they were like locusts. They dove all over them.
Yeah.
And it was awful. And nobody was doing anything. I had to go get security because some of them were getting really belligerent with like Lampley and people like that because they were trying to tell them, hey, we're trying to do an interview here. And they're all wanting in. And it's hard to blame them because they didn't know they weren't supposed to be in there.
Right.
But somebody broke the door open, so they just all followed him. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Lots more to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Wrapped in paper and a
bow flag. This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Ike says, I remember that day, Fred. I believe you said the security guard woman was she a great big fat person? I'll just say this, as big as I am, I could have worn that skin two times over. And there were two of them, and they were bookends. Keith said, don't the Patriots have Deion Lewis, James White, Rex Burkhead, and now Mike Gillingsley? Why would they draft a running back? Aren't those guys all kind of the same type of backs, though? And the Patriots will, I mean, not all those guys will be on the roster. I would be surprised if they don't draft a bigger guy just to mix things up. I mean, that's kind of how they've always done it. And I guess Burkhead's close to that, but the other guys aren't. They're all small, fast. 713-780-ESPN. Let us try Brian, there's a draft question. What's up?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you, Brian.
All right, man, I just want to start out by saying, man, I've been listening since I've been here, you know, over the last 3 or so years. And, man, you guys are fair. You guys always, you know, you don't straddle the fence. You always stay right in the midst, and you knew what you on. So with me saying that, I want to say this. If Deshaun Watson pigment skin, he was a white quarterback, are we having a conversation with him and Mitchell Trubisky? Because me personally, I don't think it's close. And then another side of this, if McCaffrey was a black running back at Stafford, we would be talking about him in the top five, i.e. Reggie Bush. And I hang up and listen, guys.
I don't know. I don't think that Deshaun Watson being a black guy, I mean, we've seen black quarterbacks drafted number one overall. So it's more of a question now of, well, one guy played in a pro-style offense, one guy didn't, and they feel like Mitch Trubisky's got more NFL potential. I don't necessarily believe that's true. I think Mitch Trubisky would be ready to play in the NFL before Deshaun Watson, but I don't know that his upside is necessarily greater. And as far as Christian McCaffrey, I think Christian McCaffrey's great. I believe he's probably a more complete player than Reggie Bush. But I also would have never taken Reggie Bush number three overall where he got taken, and I don't believe in taking running backs that high, period. And I also think Christian McCaffrey is probably about the fourth best running back in this class. So I don't think it's a black white thing anymore, especially with quarterbacks. We've seen so many black quarterbacks. Robert Griffin went second overall. There's been a handful of black quarterbacks go number one overall. I don't think that stigma exists anymore. At least not with NFL GMs. I'm sure there's some racist-ass redneck fans who feel that way.
Yeah.
But the reality is NFL GMs, they're looking for the best player.
But and from my perspective, I can't see any reason a team takes Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson. Not a guy who's had 1 year of college experience, who wasn't that great, who had some accuracy problems, and just because he's a prototype-looking quarterback, man, give me the guy who had success. And I think Watson will be ready before Trubisky. He's got more experience. He's got experience at a higher level. He's played at the highest level. Give me that guy. Now, I admit, I will downgrade a white running back because he's white.
This isn't your average white running back, though.
But to me, use the Reggie Bush comparison. That's the kind of player he is to me. You can, you know, get him back there on kick returns, get him out of the backfield for swing passes, use him the way the Saints did. You'll get a lot out of him. But if you're thinking that guy's going to be your Lamar Miller, you're mistaken. Just my humble opinion. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I think fans are the only people that think that way. I really can't imagine a GM saying, you know what, man, I'm going to take this guy because he's white. Because your job kind of counts on picking the best players.
Yeah. I can't imagine they're worried about that.
713 says, many people are treating Watson as more of a running talent and downplaying his passing. That's the typical race-based bias for quarterbacks. Actually, no,
well,
I'm not.
Silly.
I'm not. Anybody that's doing that, I don't think is.
They're not educated on what Deshaun Watson is.
No. I mean, the guy, I think he's a very accurate passer, a lot more than he gets credit for. He rises to the occasion in big games. When the pressure's on, he's at his best. And frankly, I think 2 years ago, he took off running a lot more. Last year, he stayed in the pocket more. Probably cost him a few more interceptions.
Which, by the way, he's not even really that fast.
No.
Relatively. Mitch Trubisky ran the same 40 time as him.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't. And that's what people who don't pay attention, they automatically assume that the black quarterback is like a run-first quarterback. If you think that about Deshaun Watson, you're just wrong. I think Deshaun Watson prefers to be a passing quarterback. And he's athletic, but he's athletic in like the way, you know, Aaron Rodgers is. If he's got to make a move, he can.
Right.
That's not his preference. You know, this isn't, we're not talking about Mike Vick, where
yeah.
If the first read's shut down, I'm taking off with it. I mean, this is a guy who it's.
You know who I might trust as a runner more than him? It's probably Pat Mahomes.
Arguably,
he can. You know, he's and Now, I don't want Pat Mahomes.
No.
It's going to happen. You know it. And I'm just going to have to sit here and say, well, I hope 3 years from now I'm saying Texans got the right guy. He says he listens to the Blitz because you guys are white. Well, Jong's Asian.
That's true.
And I'm half white. 832 says, does Blunt to the Giants make sense? I know that's who's been talking to him, and I think he would be a good fit there, but I will go on record as saying this. Wherever LeGarrette Blount goes, he'll never be as good as he was in New England. And when he went to Pittsburgh, he wasn't the same player, and he had all kinds of trouble there. And that's a pretty good program that they have. I think the Giants have a pretty good program, too. But he's one of those guys, man, I think Belichick finds a way to get the most out of him. And I just don't think anybody else will be able to do that. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A lot of people asking about Jabril Peppers to the Texans. Can return kicks and punts as well as secondary depth. He seems to be dropping on a lot of people's boards.
I don't know. I have concerns about him. I like the versatility, but in the NFL, that's not necessarily what you're looking for. And I would say that seems like an unlikely pick for the Texans.
Well, can he play free safety for you? That's a question.
And
I'm asking you, do you think
here's my take on what Jabril Peppers is. Jabril Peppers is a guy who the deeper he drops back into coverage, the further away he gets from the line of scrimmage, the less effective he is. So so if you ask me, is that a quality I'm looking for in an NFL free safety, you can probably guess what my answer is. I'm not saying he's garbage. I'm just saying that the name value is probably he's probably not
because if you think he can play free safety for you at a high level, then I like the pick because you also use him returning kicks. But if you don't think he can play that, I'm not sure where the value is in him. Now, you could put him as a box safety. But
I'm not looking for a kick returner with my first pick unless he's an every down player.
But that's plus that. That's why I'm asking. If you think he could play that position for you.
I think maybe he could eventually play that position, but I don't think he would be effective year one. And maybe not year two, and maybe never. But I would say I'm not bullish on him.
People thinking, what do you think of Rockets -7 tonight? The way the series has gone, I would probably go the other way. I think the Rockets win, it's a no play for me because I could see the Rockets running off and hiding. But Nick says Mahomes was super slow, 4.8 in the 40. Yeah, but if you watched him play, he was pretty good in the open field. He was pretty good out of the pocket. He's fairly athletic.
But a lot of it is because they've got those wide. They play with those wide split tackles at Texas Tech, where it's like sort of a you can make it more of a one-on-one running thing, and if you can out-athlete linebackers at the college level, you can't do that at the NFL level. Ask Vince Young.
Yeah,
you know.
But I also think that he'll be able to get yardage for you on plays that break down. But I also think he's going to have a lot of plays break down because he tends to panic when the pocket collapses. He's a guy that you've got to be very careful the way you use him. You've got to get him on rollouts and cut the field in half for him early on and give him easier passes to make. And if you do enough of that, then you take the occasional big shot with him. But he's got technique issues to work out. I mean, I'll be surprised if he gets in a game next year that he's very effective. But I think he runs better than 4.8. So,
all right, guys, I am going to tell you about my good friends over at Raisin Cane's. And you've been hearing me talk about these guys for a while. And that's because they've changed the game when it comes to chicken fingers. They're never using frozen. It's always fresh chicken tenders made from the premium quality chicken tenders. And they care about doing one thing and one thing only. That's making the best chicken fingers. And they do it because they make it with love. And that's they've got the best chicken, the best sides. Everything's made from fresh ingredients. The Texas toast is so good. The crinkle cut fries are so good. I never mention it, but the lemonade is fresh squeezed every day, and it's amazing. And the cane sauce, which I always mention because it's my favorite part, it goes perfectly with anything. It's a little bit tangy, a little bit spicy, a little bit perfect. There are 24 locations in the Houston area. They've got a second location opening up in Katy on May 9th, Gaston Road and Falcon Landing. Be one of the first customers in line and receive Cane's for a Year card. How about that? And that's a great deal going. They've got another new location opened up at Buffalo Speedway in Maine. So stop by that or one of the other 24 locations in the Houston area. It's Raising Cane's. If you haven't tried it, tonight's a great night to do it. Raising Cane's, one love.
That.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Behold the King. The King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we are back on The Blitz. And you know what that music means?
What's it mean, Fred?
Time for Houston Chronicle columnist / TV / podcast guy. All around good dude. Jerome Solomon. What's up, buddy?
What's up? One of these days I'm going to not get a chuckle from Dave South with the stay sportsy. If you can just get in and say stay sportsy, bitches, it's all over.
I like the one he does where he goes, sports!
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
Very cool.
Yeah, bitches. Yeah. So just,
he has more flavor than Aggies ever knew, right?
That's right.
Exactly. I always say if you slap a bitch on it, it's always better. So.
Well, that pretty much goes with anything. It's like ketchup, huh?
Yeah. Give me some ketchup, bitch. See? It's so much better.
Y'all are so sad. I haven't heard the first part of the show. Clearly, y'all are already off the rails, probably.
Eh.
It's about average.
Been railish. Hey, we've talked about, somehow we got on memorabilia and crap like that, and a little Rockets, a little draft talk. So.
Wait a minute. The Blitz is doing memorabilia?
Well, not really.
Or y'all are just making fun of memorabilia freaks?
A little of both. We just kind of talked about goofy stuff that we had seen or done or had over the years.
Ah, gotcha. Now, on the memorabilia thing, I've never understood. I don't understand the entire phenomenon, period. Especially the way the value of these things go. And then they get into the bubble gum, you know, chewing gum or spit from some guy and all of that. It's just, I don't quite understand it.
Well, I think the best stuff was all like, we want a Bill Cosby signed wine glass, things like that. So that should tell you where we were going with it.
So y'all are into like the porn autograph, facsimile of body parts kind of thing?
No, more like Aaron Hernandez signed bed sheet, stuff like that. That's what we're looking for.
Bed sheet? I don't even want to know. I'll just leave that alone.
So your Rockets finish it off tonight? Are you out there enjoying the dollar beer and hot dogs with everybody?
Yeah, well, walking in right now, yeah. I expect them to, but you never know. That's the thing. It's until it's done, it's done. I think they've proved that they're the better squad and better team, but Oakland's, you know, city's also proved that, you know, Russell Westbrook can darn near win a game by himself. And, you know, the Rockets are not good enough that they can coast to a victory. And, you know, if they don't play well, if they don't make more shots than they have made, eventually that's going to catch up to them. It really hasn't hurt them yet. They haven't, to be fair to them, they haven't played that well. This might be a night that they play well. And if they play well, they'll run away with it. And this might be that night, though.
Well, and that we've talked about that a lot. It's really, other than game one, you look at it and you say, and even then they didn't shoot threes very well. Kind of feel like the Rockets haven't played very well in this series, and yet they're one missed three-pointer away from having swept. At some point, do you expect to see them come out and just light it up? He's kind of been there all season.
I certainly do, but if I were just a strictly a Rockets fan, I wouldn't want him to play that well tonight either. Just win the series. You know, say that for game one on the road in San Antonio. Light it up then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that would be a series-changing game if they can do that. So they don't need to be hot, clearly. They're 3-1 and haven't played well. They don't need to be great to beat this team. They're going to need to be a hell of a lot better to beat the Spurs in the next round, if it's the Spurs, which I expect it to be. But, hey, you never know.
So how glad are you that we're almost done with the draft stuff so you can start speculating on your next starting Texans quarterback as soon as Saturday?
God, I'm dreading. I'm still dreading the draft because it hasn't happened yet. I've been anti-draft, especially when they switched it to 3 days and, you know, they've been dragging it out even more. And it's a long, arduous process of paying attention to so many dozens of players who you'll never see play for the team that you pay the most attention to. So it's kind of a much ado about nothing in a lot of ways, but people are really interested in it. So it's one of those things you cannot ignore. I mean, it you really can't, but it's just tiresome. I on the TV show, Texas Sports Nation last Sunday, I made fun of John McClain and Aaron Wilson, the guys who cover the Texans for us, because over the course of time, they've named 10 different players in their mocks that the Texans are going to take at 25. I'm like, what are y'all just – you're going to be right one way or the other, right? You put enough names up there, eventually you will be right. And that's what you get. Clearly, I'd be far more interested in draft if the Texans had a top 5 pick. Hell, top 10. At 25 – man, just pick somebody and let me talk about him after you get it. You know what I mean?
Now, Jerome, don't you make fun of my mock drafts.
Oh, I'm mocking them. and especially when I've known John forever and I would make fun of him regardless. But I got plenty more permission to make fun of him when I said, hey, this was a few weeks ago, this week you have the Texans taking Deshaun Watson. He's like, oh, I change that every week. Like, oh, okay, so you just change it randomly just because. So, okay, so there's not a whole – I mean, and I'm dogging them, but they put a lot of thought into it on how the draft will go and a lot of research. And it's just a waste. Why look at the predictions when I can watch the actual draft?
You know? Yeah, but you know what? A lot of people love that stuff. And this is the first year where I have not really gotten into it until this week. Where this week I've started really diving in a little deeper to some things. And you know, most of the mock drafts have been fairly consistent, but then they're all over the place, too. There's drafts where Deshaun Watson doesn't go until 25, and there's drafts where there's 4 quarterbacks gone by the time you get to 12.
I'm telling you, Fred, this is an exaggeration, but is it really much different than if you and I and AJ sat down and did a mock Rockets Thunder game tonight? You know, you might mock that James Harden will hit 4 3-pointers in the first quarter, and AJ will go, no, he's going to go over 5. And I go, no, he'll go 2 for 2. It don't matter what we mock. The actual game, we'll get to see it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a wild guess. And after about the first 5 picks, and even then we find people are rarely right about them, but even the best of the best of the mocks, they do the first round and they get, what, 3 or 4 of them correct?
I would say 6 or 7. There's a few mocks that will get about 6 or 7 correct, and that's considered good.
And that's if there's no moves and trades and all that. And then it was only really after they realized there was money to be made in it, or at least clicks to be had in it, that people started mocking 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round. Are you really going to give me a 7-round mock draft? Come on. You know?
We were joking about how when we first started the show, we did at least Texans picks for 7 rounds. So, but not anymore. It's and part of it is, and I think it goes back to what we talked about at the end of the year. I think it just got Texans fatigue. It just feels like, okay, they're never going to fix quarterback. They're going to be 9-7 again next year. It's going to be a really good defense and a crap offense to watch. So it's hard to get excited about what they might add.
Yeah, and you guys listeners can go check it out on Twitter. It was yesterday I got into it with a guy, and you try to avoid these things because they're just silly. But part of this is unfair. I know you listen to driving, but it's your fault the Texans are so bad because this guy is arguing with me about it. You know, there was a somebody did one of them silly polls about the most boring games in the NFL coming up this year or something like that, and the Texans had two of them. I said, only two? You know, and the guy got all mad. What are you talking about? We fans are excited. Our teams are not boring. And like, no, your team is boring. Well, not every team has to score 60 points. Well, no team scores 60 points. But if your team scores the fewest touchdowns in the league, you are a boring team. You know, he said, well, a win is a win. Yeah, and you got nine of them last year. And the year before that. And the year before that.
Hey, don't sell them short. Don't sell them short. They got 10 last year if you want to count the playoffs.
Oh, God. Yeah, it took a broken leg for them to get that one. When you want to start counting preseason games, too. But it's just, if I'm arguing with fans about how good and exciting the Texans are from last year, I know I'm wasting my time. It's like, no, they're not exciting. They're boring. There's no real reason on paper right now to say they'll be more exciting and more interesting. And, yeah, if it changes, great. If Tom Savage comes out and throws five touchdowns in the first game, we'll go, wow. You know, we might have something to work with here until next week when he throws five interceptions. But don't tell me now that your team is going to be all that exciting. And it's just it's fans accepting it. It's the full uproar that you're going to get at the draft with the 25th pick because the NFL is so huge. It's at the first game of the season when every ticket is sold. The Rockets are begging people to buy playoff tickets tonight.
Dollar beer and hot dogs, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons behind it. It's not just to get people in there. Those tickets are way too expensive. That's what it was. And they did a dumb thing. They didn't start selling tickets to tonight's game until after it was determined there would be a game five. Mm. When they already knew they would play another playoff game, they just didn't know when it would be. So you should, you know, back in the day, you used to go, hey, we're selling tickets to game three, you know, or the third home game, wherever it'll be, or against whomever it is. But they decided to wait and try to, you know, gouge some people because they thought, the difference is if they had swept Oklahoma City, then the next playoff game would be against the Spurs and they could charge more for those tickets. Now they're desperate to try to get rid of these suckers. But those tickets are very, very expensive. I mean, I was going to buy some tickets to game two and I was like, oh, y'all are crazy if you think this is worth that, you know?
All right. That's Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon, Chronicle columnist, TV guy, a little bit of everything. Jerome, as always, appreciate the time, and we shall talk to you next week when you have a new quarterback to gush over.
You really think they're going to take a guy that deserves gushing?
Oh, you'll gush. You'll gush. You're going to buy in. You'll love him, Jerome. Trust me on this.
Benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys.
Take care. Well, now, got to talk to my good buddy, Dave Mestemaker. If you need a lawyer, there's one thing to do. If you've been in an accident, maybe you had an accident this weekend, car, truck, slip and fall, overtime claim, better dial Dave. And if you don't know if you need a lawyer, Dave, they can call you and you'll tell them. You'll help them out, right?
Absolutely. Anybody that's got a legal question or a legal problem, give me a shout, 713-626-8900, and I'll help them or I'll send them to somebody who can.
Well, and that's the thing. And if you wind up going to court, you're a monster, brother. I mean, over 200 cases now you've litigated in court? Is that what you told me?
Yeah, I've tried over 200 cases to jury verdict. I've tried cases in every kind of venue you can imagine. I'm just a trial dog. That's why they call me Lawyer Dave, because it's tattooed on a certain part of my body I can't reveal.
And the thing is, especially if you've been in an accident, one of the things I don't think people realize that these insurance companies, I mean, they've got lawyers, and you need a lawyer. If you've been in an accident, you're going up against them. You need to focus on getting well and have the lawyer do the work for you.
Yeah, there's a couple things to note on that, Fred. One is that these insurance adjusters are snakes, and they're going to try to tape record your conversation. They'll tell you they're doing it, but they're trying to set you up to take away the fact that their client is responsible for the accident. So you need to have a lawyer to sit there with you to make sure that the questions are appropriate and the answers are right. And the second thing is, a lot of times people don't have the money to go to see a doctor, and we can help arrange for doctor visits for folks that can't afford it on their own.
All right, so if you've been in an accident, man, lawyerdave.com, and give him that number one more time. And guys, I'm telling you, Dave is a bulldog. If somebody runs into me driving home tonight, this guy's going to be in touch with him right away because this is my guy. So give him that number one more time.
Thanks for that, Fred. It's 713-626-8900. Fred, kick it off one more time.
713-626-8900. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
Thanks, Fred.
Good job, bud.
Get up off your back and make a noose for me.
ESPN. 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Nexen Tire, leading warranty in the tire industry. Exclusive free roadside assistance. Got a flat tire? Nexen will change your tire or tow your vehicle for free. Nexen is the fastest growing tire brand trusted by automotive manufacturers. Check out Nexen Tire on the web to learn more at NexenTire.com. All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. And that would be on the HRNP listener line. But right now, we are going to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, AJ.
All right, Fred.
If you're a crocodile hunter, then... how are you not supposed to die? You're a crocodile hunter by trade, so you hunt down crocodiles, correct?
Right.
So what's the worst way for a crocodile hunter to die?
A stingray.
That was a pretty bad one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say getting eaten by a crocodile.
I don't know. I feel like that's kind of one of the... If you're asking me, that seems like one of the hazards of the job, right?
Yeah, but not really. It's like a bullfighter, right? You're not supposed to get gored. It happens.
Yeah.
Like the guy who got the horn up his butt the other day.
Like, I would say, like, let's say you lived in Australia and you were a crocodile hunter. It would be way more embarrassing to be killed by a kangaroo...
true.
Than a crocodile.
Now,
because they just came out of nowhere and whooped your ass. Like the crocodile, you know, they're dangerous.
But how often do you see these guys die from crocodiles? Not very often. It's like you have to go get killed by a stingray. You have to do something different.
That's true.
Yeah, well.
Especially if you're a good crocodile hunter.
Well, apparently in South Africa, Zimbabwe, DNA tests on a carcass of a crocodile confirmed that it contains the remains of a missing South African crocodile hunter, Scott Van Zyl. Apparently, he was killed last week on the banks of the Limpopo River. If you're killed by a crocodile and you're a crocodile hunter, you're bad at your job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're unemployed at that point.
Well, now you're dead.
Yeah.
So he apparently had gone on a hunting trip on the Zimbabwe-South Africa border with a local tracker and a pack of dogs. So you got all this firepower. You're not supposed to lose, right? Apparently, the dogs returned to their camp without him. Yeah, thanks for your help, dogs. Obviously, the pack was not very useful.
I saw a video today where there was an alligator on the road, and there was like a bunch of horses, and the horse wanted to get by, and there was like a baby horse with him, and the alligator wasn't moving. So the horse just trampled the alligator. Ooh. One of the horses just started jumping on it.
Nice.
And the alligator tried to bite it, but it couldn't. And the alligator eventually had to like limp off.
So I got to find. I love animal versus animal videos.
Oh, they're my favorite.
That one with the water buffaloes and the crocodiles and the lions is still my all time favorite. It's like that 8 minute long one.
I like the one where was it a jaguar, Jong? The jaguar jumps in the water and catches the alligator or the crocodile, whatever it was.
I think so.
And like he.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Jumps in the water, goes underwater, and then comes out with the crocodile in his mouth.
Yeah, I remember that
one. Jumped off a cliff onto it. That's badass.
Yeah. There was that recent one where, I don't remember what it was, but was getting chased by a whole bunch of snakes, and he got away. It was just a total badass move.
Yeah.
I love animal videos like that, but that one is my all-time favorite. I think it's water buffalo versus lion versus crocodile. So...
yeah, it was that jaguar.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Regardless, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Bannock Jeweler gem of the day. All right, guys, going to tell you about the Kima Craft Beer Fest coming up this Saturday, April 29th from 2 to 5. The Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries invite you to spend a day sampling over 72 of the finest craft beers. I've given you a lot of the names of the breweries that are going to be out there. I'll throw some of the ones that I haven't read off this list. Revolver is going to be out there. Sea Dog Brewing, 10th and Blake are going to be out there. Green Flash will be out there. Galveston Island will be out there if you're wanting some local fare. But there's 24 breweries, and you're going to get some from all of them. You can buy advance tickets now, $44.95 a person, or $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member, or if you have a military ID. $49.95 the day of the event, so it's better to get in now. Your admission includes beer samples, of course, giveaways from the beer vendors, and food samples. There's live music all day. It's going to be a great day. Get out there and enjoy it. Purchase tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Kima Boardwalk. All guests must present valid ID at the time of purchase and must be 21 years of age to enter. That's this Saturday, April 29th from 2 to 5 p.m. on the Kima Boardwalk. For more info, KemaBeerFest.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.